The Word of God is God's Word to us, as we know. But everything in God's Word is not necessarily holy, if you know what I'm saying. I'll explain in a minute. Because the Word of God talks about a lot of things. In fact, it talks about the devil, who was not holy. It says things about him. There are people in God's Word who lie, who do rotten things. So those things is God designed, but not everything in the Word of God is necessarily holy. And so you can look at the Word in a couple of different ways. Sometimes we look at it and say, well, how do I do this? And you go to look at it that way, and you can learn, maybe you're looking at grace or mercy or peace and all that. I thought what I'd look at today was, I want to look at unbelief. Not because I want more, right? But when we look at unbelief in God's Word, it will help us to see what it is that causes unbelief. So if any of those areas are impacting us, that will be something good to look at. And because if we want to learn anything, the Word of God has to be our only rule for faith and practice. It has to be God's Word. I can't rely on my experience and say, well, I'm going to use my experience to learn about unbelief. No. If God wanted me to know something about unbelief, He had it recorded in His Word. So that's a good. So let's look at Luke chapter 4 just to start off in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, which he knew he was, command this stone that it be made bread. And I love Jesus Christ's answer here. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We know we need food to live. We understand that. I think all of us, especially teenagers, we understand we need food to live. Some need a lot more than others. But God's Word says that we need His Word. Not just, but of course we need that for physical life, but to live life spiritually, we need God's Word. And God, so, you know, when we go to the Word of God to learn about unbelief, we recognize that He has a lot to say about it. And God says it from the point of view of us understanding how to avoid it. So my goal in putting this together was to answer the question, how come I can't believe? And if this helps you, good. So, because there's areas in my life that I would like to believe God more. I certainly don't want to go to the New York Times or, you know, Wikipedia or something like that. Wikipedia. I don't want to go there to learn about how to believe. I want to go to where the Word of God tells me I should go. It says to live life, I have to go to His Word. Let's go to Mark chapter 3, okay? Must look at the word of God to find out what it is that causes unbelief. I mean, you know, you think about it. If I complain about not being able to believe God, which I probably have, but I've not taken the time to go to the Word of God to see what to do about it, I have no right to complain. You know, if I say, well, you know, but if I've, you know what I'm saying, if I take the time, if I have never even considered why, well, then I shouldn't complain about it, right? Let's look at Mark chapter 3. We'll start here. Verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth, which, you know, singled the man out from all the other people. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, Jesus Christ was angry at them, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and took counsel to destroy him. They wanted to destroy him. So they didn't believe, did they? They had no desire to believe. The man obviously believed because he got his hand restored. So if I have a need in my life and I want to see deliverance, this is where I want to go to. I want to go and read this and say, look at this. This man couldn't, and he got it restored. That's what we should see in our lives regularly. Now here, those that didn't believe, what did Jesus Christ say to them? He goes, he was grieved for the hardness of their heart. So you got to ask myself the question, am I hard-hearted in areas? Is there areas of my life that I have become calloused in my heart that I cannot believe God in that area? Because that's exactly what happened to these guys. In this case, it was religion. You know, he told them about, you know, the Sabbath, and is it okay to heal on the Sabbath days? And they were waiting to catch him as soon as he healed. Oh, we got you now. Forget about the poor guy whose hand didn't work. They weren't concerned about that, but that's hardness of heart. Right? So, you know, I asked myself the question, is it, that word hardness is translated as blindness in other places. You know, so what does it mean? Does it, are we not sharp on the word when it comes to certain areas? Do we accept unbiblical ideas easily? Is our heart calloused for whatever reason, jealousy or anger or whatever it might be? Is there areas that we've allowed the world to get in and harden our hearts so we just can't believe in that area? That's what happened to these people, and they couldn't believe. The man, okay, got healed. Obviously, he didn't have a hard heart. But do I? So, you know, that's something we can look at. Is there an area in my life that I constantly fail in because I've hardened my heart in that area to God's word? And so what's the solution? You go to God's word and you get rid of whatever it is, anger or bitterness, jealousy or whatever it happens to be. And if I'm not sharp in an area, well, then I go to God's word and get sharp in that area. I don't go around and listen to stuff off the TV or radio, other stuff to try and learn how to get rid of my unbelief. I go to the word of God. Matthew. There's another one. This is a wonderful one. In Matthew 13:53, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" He goes, how come he can do all this? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, aren't they all with us? Which means we know his sisters. You know, those were his sisters. How can he can do all this? Whence then hath this man all these things? How can he can do all this? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto him, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He could not heal. He could not do all. Notice it says he didn't do many. He did some. He did a lot of works, but he couldn't do many. And it says it's because they were offended in him. And then you have to ask yourself the question, am I offended at the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone asked me at work, or someone, who do you believe? And I'm afraid to talk about it. Or do I say I believe in Jesus Christ? He's my Lord, he's my Savior, and I trust he's coming back for me someday. What is it? Am I offended? Because apparently, if we're offended at him, it leads to unbelief. Here, he couldn't do anything because they were offended at him. They just said, oh, he's just another man. He's not the Son of God. Do I believe he's the Son of God? Remember, the whole book of John is written so that they might believe that he is the Son of God. Is that what I hold him to be? Or is it like Islam, where they believe he's just a man? They say they believe the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. They believe it to the point of saying he's a man, but they refuse to believe that he's the Son of God. That's what Islam believes. That's a huge percentage of the population of this world. They are offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. They will never see believing results from the word. In Matthew 16... I think that over the last few weeks, we've looked in detail about what we're not to think of him as. And here's a verse we looked at recently, but we'll look at it again. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked them, who do they say? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and others say you are Elijah. And others say, well, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. A lot of people, a lot of different opinions. That's the same thing that's wrote there. A lot of people, a lot of different opinions. I don't want the world's opinions. I don't want to go to the world. I don't want to go to the radio, the TV, the movie, the film industry, the music industry to understand why, what I need to do to believe God. I want to know what the Word of God says. So what do they say here? What does it say here? Let's keep reading. He said unto them, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You think you got it right? Yeah. You got it right. And look what Jesus answered and said. Look, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to believe. The other thing, if I'm offended at him, if I just think he's just a man, you know, he didn't really, you know, look at his sister, look where he came from, what could he possibly have done? As much of the world thinks, that leads to unbelief. And a lot of the world is in unbelief. Proverbs 29. And again, you can apply these things to areas of our life. Is there an area of my life that I don't trust the work of Jesus Christ? Is there an area of my life where I've been calloused? Or is there an area that I've got a hardness of heart? This is another one. You guys are aware of this one. We'll read it. In Proverbs 29. 25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man brings a snare. So let's look at Mark chapter 5. We'll keep that in our mind. We'll go to Mark 5. While we're thinking about this. You know, that whole thing about callousness and hardness of heart, that area also can come about as a result of, you know, over the years, not being able to see a result in an area. We can close our life off to that in the scripture, but we never ought to do that. We ought to always expect what the Word of God says. And, you know, that's what I was saying about, you know, things like family camps or classes on God's Word. You know, you want to have a breakthrough in that area of life, put a lot of the Word of God in that area to eliminate that. That's the only way to do it. So fear, Mark 5:22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. You know, pretty dire situation. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. We're going to skip down to verse 35, where the record continues. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. So she's no longer at the point of death. She's died in this time. He's on his way to their house. Why troublest thou the master any further? So what's the point? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. In Proverbs 29, we saw the fear of man brings a snare. Here, Jesus Christ recognized that if the man allowed fear to enter his life, that he would have trouble believing him. So immediately, soon as he saw that there was some reason for fear to enter his life, he said, by the way, you don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Only believe the truth. Believe the word. You know, so how does that help us? Well, if I have fear in my life in an area, if I have any kind of fear, I got to get rid of that fear. And that's by going to God's Word. The Word of God is the one that casts out all that kind of junk out of our life. Allowing the light of God's Word to shine. I got to find the Word that's relevant to that particular area. How many times did the angels sent by God, what were the first words out of their mouth many times? Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. You know, same thing with us. Well, what am I afraid of? You know, there's an area of my life I might have a need. I got to ask myself, Roger, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of seeing the Word of God work in that area? Sometimes we're actually afraid of seeing the Word of God work. In verse 36, where are we? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, "Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. A lot of people who had a bit of a low opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Who is it? What do you mean? Yeah, she's dead. You can't do anything. Again, see, there's always, this is just one record. In our life, there are always things coming at you to try to stop you to believe. You see it here. The man is, you know, comes and the guy goes, "Don't bother her." And he goes, "No, you believe." And he goes there and he goes, "Oh, you can't do it." And then she's dead. This constant information coming at us to not believe God's word. You want to be, that is part and parcel, good reason why we can become callous in life, because we allow that information to constantly bombard us. You just see it here in one little record. And these are the days when there was no social media. Just talk, words. Right? And when he was come, he says, okay, they laughed in the scorn, verse 40, and when he had put them all out, see, that's exactly what I would do. I would turn that thing off that's giving me the wrong information. That's exactly what he did. He turned it off. He goes, "You guys, get out." Right? That's what I ought to say to any information that is bothering me from believing God. Get the hell out. I don't want that in there. I want this in my mind. I want the word of God in my mind. Here, Jesus Christ said, "Okay, you guys are laughing. Get out." Because that would have hurt the other man's believing. He did it for the sake of the guy. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked. And that is not possible, is it? By all physical understanding, that's not possible. But by the word of God, it certainly was. And if the man had paid attention to all the physical junk that was being thrown at him, it wouldn't have happened. But Jesus Christ was great. Don't be afraid. You believe. You get out. Get out of the way. Make it clear. See, you just get rid of everything in our lives that can possibly impact our ability or cause us to have fear in a situation to believe God. And guess what happened? They got their daughter back. Can you imagine what was happening in that house that night? Just think about it. What happened that night after she came back to life? Wow. And Mark 11. Mark 11. Verse 23. Sometimes we just tolerate information that impacts our believing and we do nothing about it. Mark 11, 23. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt." There's another thing that can cause unbelief, and that is doubt. "But shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Do we believe that? That's a pretty big promise, isn't it? Wow. Let's read it again. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." That's what it says. That's what the word says. That was Jesus Christ's promise. "But without any doubt." The word doubt means to hesitate or waver. Another place, it's translated to contend with yourself. It's kind of an interesting translation, eh? You hear the word, you go, "Was that really true? Shouldn't even go there." It's like, you know, when the devil says, "Well, did that, you know, she considered what he said." Don't consider what the adversary says. That's contending with oneself. That's doubt. Remember when the men came to Peter's, when he was praying on the rooftop there? He told them, "Go doubting nothing." He goes, "Don't you doubt. You just go." He didn't even know. That's the great thing. That situation, Peter didn't even know all the information, did he? He just told them, "Go." He goes, "Don't doubt." I was like, "Well, I got to have more information. What's the rest of it?" No. Just do what the word of God says. That's what Peter did. He did what the word of God says. And the same word there used, doubt, diakrino. It's the word there. Don't talk. Try to figure it all out. If you know what the word of God is, just go with that. You don't need any more information. That's just all that you need. In Romans, it's translated in Abraham, he staggered not. Right? He just didn't. He did not accept the other information. He looked at it. He could see it, but he didn't stagger. He kept his mind exactly on what God had told him. I've just been reading about Abraham. It didn't happen overnight, did it? But he just kept his mind on what God had told him. And guess what happened? Right? The Lord Jesus Christ was born someday. Pretty cool. So trust the information from God, and you know, both from directly from God or God's word, and take God's word for it. Galatians chapter 1. That's the way to eliminate doubt. Trust the information you have from God and stay put on it. Galatians chapter 1. Here's another one. Like, it seems like the word of God has a lot to say about unbelief, doesn't it? Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. This is Paul. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So I have to ask myself the question, am I more concerned about pleasing men or pleasing God? And that can be in a certain area of life as well. It doesn't have to be in all your whole life, but in certain areas, am I more concerned about pleasing people than I am about pleasing God? Look at John chapter 5. Keep that thought there. John 5. So Paul said that if he tried to please men, he couldn't at the same time be the servant of Christ. So sometimes, apparently serving Christ means that you end up displeasing a lot of people. That interesting, right? And so if you're one of those kind of people who is a people pleaser and are unwilling to take the word of God in situations because you'd rather please people, well, the word of God says that deters your ability to serve Christ and to believe him. In John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and yet you will not come to me that you might have life." You guys look at the scriptures, you guys read them, and they talk about eternal life, but you don't come to me to get it. Jesus Christ says, "And you will not come to me," verse 40, 41, "I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, which you receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Interesting, eh? That you guys are more concerned about the honor of men. And you know, these guys here he was talking to, you're more concerned about the honor that comes from men. More concerned about pleasing people. And he says, when you're that kind of person, how can you believe? Interesting, isn't it? In John 12. John chapter 12. Remember, you know, a wonderful man who taught us God's word made that great statement, "I have no friends when it comes to the word of God." So if I got a friend that deters my ability to believe God, that person will no longer be my friend. Because what's more important, pleasing him or her, or is it God? That's something I got to decide. Right. John 12:37. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Verse 38. "That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." See, there it is again, time and time again. If I'm more concerned about what you think of me than God thinks of me, right, I'm outside of bounds. We ought to be more concerned about what God thinks of us than anything else. We ought to be more concerned about pleasing him than pleasing anybody else. And sometimes, and many times in Jesus Christ's life, what did that mean? People were totally offended. Right? It doesn't matter. I mean, not that we're not purposely going out to try to offend people. The Word of God says we're to love people, take care of people, love them, teach them God's Word. But when it comes right down to it, I got a choice. Honor him first. In James chapter 2. Here's another one. Now, this is an interesting section of Scripture because we've looked at a lot of verses over the past number of fellowships and how we're justified by believing. And it's not works that justify us, so let's not confuse this section with all the many, many verses we've read about how everything we have is by the grace of God and by the work of Jesus Christ. And we, our righteousness before God and our standing has nothing to do with our things that we do, okay? Don't confuse this section. This section is not about that. It's about something else. But what this section we're going to read is about, am I acting on what I believe? Or is it just words to me? And that's what this section James is talking about. James 2:14. He goes, what does it, so, you know, again, when it comes to unbelief, if I don't act on what I know to be true in God's word, then that's unbelief. In James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath believing and have not works? Can faith or believing save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so believing, I'm going to use the word believing here, it's faith here, but the same word. Even so believing, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If I don't act, and the word, you can translate that word believing as acting on the word here. If I don't act on what I know to be true, my believing is dead. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith, or believing, without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You know, a person might say, well, I believe God, but they never act on God's word. And somebody else who's out there acting on the word, but they never talk about it, well, who's believing God? That's what it's talking about here. It's not talking about earning righteousness or God's love or eternal life by our, it's not that at all. It's talking about acting, and this James was written to the scattered tribes, right? That who were still, they were Christians, but they used to be Judeans, and a lot of them they might have accepted it head knowledge, but now here, look, you got to act on the word now. You got to act on it. You got to go by what the word of God says. Keep reading. 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Guess what? The devils believe the same thing, and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now it says in Romans that Abraham was justified by believing. Right? So he believed God, but guess what he also did? He acted on that believing. When God asked him to sacrifice his son, what did he do? He went down to do it. And God says, wow, by this I know you believe me. It showed his believing. When he had offered up Isaac, his only son, upon the altar, verse 22, seest thou how faith or believing wrought with his works, and by works, the acting on that, was that believing made perfect. By acting on it, was it made perfect. And again, verse 23 and so on, talks about how Abraham is called the friend of God. Right? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him, see, for righteousness, that believing. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by believing only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so believing without acting on that believing works is dead also. I got to ask myself the question, you know, healing. The word of God says that by his stripes I am healed. But do I walk around confessing my problems all the time? Is that what I talk about? Is the confession of my life, sickness, disease, lack of health? Is that what I'm confessing? If I'm confessing, then my faith is dead. Because by acting on God's word, I say by his stripes I am healed. You know, tithing. If I tithe, and God's word says that he will open the windows of heaven, bless me. If I tithe and I go around confessing poverty or lack or all this stuff, am I acting on my believing? Or am I just going through the motions? The word of God says believing without corresponding action is dead. When I know what the word of God says, I'm to act on that word. I walk out on that word just the way Rahab did, Abraham did, all these. God told Abraham, get out of here, move your whole family in a day when there was no moving companies or moving vans. Get out. I've given you land. He told him, I'm going to give you more children than the sand on the seashore and the stars. And guess what? He had no child. Look at that. And he acted. He goes, yeah, I believe God. And God said, Abraham, you're righteous. That was it. He acted on his believing. He was willing to kill his child, which it says in Hebrews that he knew that God would raise him from the dead if required. That's how far his believing, that's how much he was willing to act on that word. And God didn't ask him to kill his child. He stopped him. But wow, that's believing. That's acting on what you believe to be true. If I know a promise in God's word is true, it is true. That's the end of it. There's no need for discussion. There's no need for contending with myself after that, talk myself out. And all that's required now is to act. Hebrews 3. Well, a couple more verses. We'll close. Actually, Romans 4. We did talk about Abraham. We have to read a couple of verses here. If we don't have to, we should. Romans 4. This is another one. And it's about Abraham, but it's interesting the way it's put here. In Romans 4:18, it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith or believing, here the word considered not, the not is not in the text. It should be, he considered his own body dead, and it was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He knew that he was beyond it, and he knew his wife was beyond it, so that's information that he had. That was in the Working Translation, it's translated properly. So he considered that, yet verse 20, he staggered not, that's that word doubt. He didn't doubt the promise of God through unbelief. So if he had doubted, we already learned doubt leads to unbelief. So he didn't have doubt. He had believing. But was strong in believing, giving glory to God. Another great key, giving glory to God. He didn't glorify man or his problems or talk about. He talked about giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, and this is the one I wanted to get to, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Do you believe that God is bigger than your problem? Do you believe that? Or do you believe that your problem is bigger than God? Here, Abraham, he looked at Sarah's womb, you know, his wife, he looked at himself, he goes, okay, you know, people don't generally have children at this age. God said you're going to have a child. And he refused to doubt that. He staggered not the promise of God. Giving glory to God, did he have a child? Yeah. Did he have many more children after that? Yeah. And you know, so God's promise was true. So for us to understand, remember that actually it's the same record where God asked him, is anything hard, too hard for God? Sarah, when Sarah left, right? Isn't that when God asked him, is anything too hard for God? And Abraham obviously believed that it wasn't. He knew that what God had promised, and again, when God's promised it, we believe that he can do what his word says he can do. That's it. It's not up to me. It's up to God to keep his word. John 14. Did we already read this one? Probably not. No. John 14. So I wanted to close with a couple of verses on what is possible if we remove all these deterrents that might be existing to our believing. God's word is so wide open. The other things we didn't even look at in detail, but religion is another one. You know, we could look at that in detail at some point. Religion and religious thinking and religious actions and, you know, going through the motions of spirituality is a deterrent to believing. It killed the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those guys that came to Jesus Christ. I mean, it says in one place when Jesus Christ healed somebody, they were filled with madness. Filled with madness. Religion led them to be filled with madness when someone was healed. That's sick, isn't it? Another one is spiritualism. Are we messing around with spiritualism in any way whatsoever? You know, do we just pay occasional heed to the astrology report? Oh, maybe I'll just listen to what it says for Sagittarius today. You know, are we paying heed to the doctrines and peeping and muttering of wizards and devils that is out there? Because there's a lot out there. Spiritualism, that will affect your ability to believe God. Didn't look at that today, but that's another one. These are all areas that we have to be very sharp on in our lives. And the way to stay sharp, you can't obviously think about all those areas. The way to stay sharp is stay in the Word. You stay in God's Word. You keep the Word of God on your mind. All that stuff gets set in its right proper sequence and order. It gets out of the way. Light dispels darkness. If I just keep talking about all the darkness there, that's not the way to do it. We stay in God's Word. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Do I believe that I can do the works Jesus Christ did? Also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever, here's a problem, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, anything, I will do it. You see how open the Word of God is? You know, we used to call these blank checks in God's Word. There's these blank checks. There's like a bunch of them that God says, just anything. What do you need? What do you want? You can do the works Jesus Christ did. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? Or is there callousness in my life? Is there hardness of heart? Is there fear? Is there other things that have crept up that stop me from believing the purity and the simplicity of God's Word? Right? In Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 20. And when I'm in the wrong chapter. There we go. 21:21. Again, we read it before. Let's read it now from the point of view of Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and believe, doubt not, you shall not only do that which is under the fig tree, but also if thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, here's another one of those blank checks, right? All things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. We see how wide open believing is when we just remove the deterrence, right? And we'll close in Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Just to see, take a look at, you know, what's possible when we eliminate anything that might be impacting our ability to believe him. Ephesians 3:14. This is a great prayer. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And here's another one of those blank checks. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's it.